This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato.
Ladies, find you a man that loves you as much as John Granato loves Coors Light. Right? Dell?
Well, you're obsessive, so I don't know if ladies should be looking out for that type of love.
Yeah, because that is... What if...
You're a little clingy.
So,
I am kind of clingy to Coors
Light. MWM, married white male, instead of single white female. It's married white male.
Like, you think I would be...
Are
like,
you stalking Coors Light?
If you were looking at a maybe another domestic beer, how would I feel?
Oh, that meme?
No, you.
I don't even know what the meme would be where John looks back at the Coors Light.
You would never look at another domestic beer.
That's
the thing.
It's just a Coors Light is the girl, and he looks back at the next Coors Light. Yeah.
Yeah, so a lady, you're clingy, and you're probably... It'd probably feel a little oppressive, the attention you'd give her. All the time.
John, I need space. Has Coors Light ever told you it needs space? It needs some time alone?
No.
It just wants a girl's trip?
No. It needs time with other Coors Lights? Yeah, it's had time with other Coors Lights in the fridge.
Not with other Coors Lights. Other drinkers.
With other people?
Yeah.
Listen, Coors Light can date other people, too.
Particularly on the first couple dates, you can't be like...
No.
You can't be like, well, are we getting married now?
No.
A girl's not looking for that. You can't look.
The only thing is, listen, here's the deal. I'm not going to be a cuck in the corner watching somebody else drink a Coors Light. I'm going to have one, too.
John already wifed up Coors Light. You don't have to worry about
this
it.
This is not
John
really,
put a ring on it years ago.
This isn't
ago.
Really about you, John. It's really about the women and potential suitors that act like you do when it comes to Coors Light. They're not going to have any fun because you're going to be just going to constrict and be clingy.
I don't mind if everybody...
That's a bad look for a dude.
I know, but here's the deal. Oh, well. It's what I am. But as long as I'm enjoying mine, you know what? Everybody can enjoy, too.
I don't know what that means.
I'm confused now. I can't see the name up there, by the way.
Is that New York Tony?
Yeah.
Is that New York Tony?
It might be Anthony. Oh, you mean Anthony.
No, it's New York Tony. Let's get New York Tony in here. What's up, New York Tony?
Oh, no, yeah, that's right.
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
John's like, Coors Light, get in my belly.
That's right.
I love that you used Shungad in a commercial. That was great.
Thanks.
But it's amazing also how Longhorn Scott can be completely inaccurate about every statement except for one. He just loves to hear himself talk, so I think that's what his deal is. But on this situation with the quarterback, how is this going to affect his NFL draft value? If he is an NFL draft pick, or is he good enough to be in the NFL, how is that going to affect him? Are they going to look at him like that's a quitter? You know, that's the thing I was thinking of also. I don't know. Is that something
it's not a factor. First of all, I would say that I would think being an NFL quarterback is going to be tough for him. He's small. He's not super accurate. And to me, NFL teams are going to be salivating at throwing him in the slot and letting him go to work on people because he is so electric in terms of his quickness.
He's very Greg Wardish.
Yeah, who is also an NFL wide receiver.
Yeah, right.
And I understand the way people say, well, the way the NFL is going, he's not Lamar Jackson. So Derek King is a great runner. He's a great athlete. He is not an NFL passer with NFL size. Lamar Jackson, actually, he has much better size also than Derek King. So, and to answer your question directly, Tony, it's not a factor. If a guy transferred, there's been plenty of guys who, if he does transfer, NFL teams aren't going to consider him a quitter or this. They're just going to – all they care about is what kind of worker is he? What kind of player is he at the position? That's much ado about nothing. It wouldn't – His draft stock impact is not going to be hurt by transferring if he transfers. It's not going to be an issue. Not in this particular
instance. Or sits, even. Yeah. And if he comes back to U of H, even. Sitting for a year, a lot of guys are – actually, he's another year older. He could probably use more experience. He's not going to be a quarterback at the pro level.
What's the best route for Derek King? Clayton Tune plays well at quarterback. he spends the year relearning the intricacies of playing wide receiver.
I really think the Braxton Clark mode, because I think he's a better athlete than Braxton Clark Braxton Clark, the former transfer in at U of H Phi Slamma Jamma days in 84. Totally different guys.
Yeah.
But Braxton Miller, the switch over that Braxton Miller made, he was still very, very raw when he was coming out as a wide receiver. And maybe the same thing would be true with Derek King if he made that switch. Derek is a more explosive athlete, and my guess is he's going to be, and Braxton was a pretty damn good athlete, but Derek is like, I just see some explosiveness with Derek King that really, on that fourth down run where he extended the play and was able to move forward he was afraid to throw the football in that last drive against Tulane. You could see he was looking for reasons to run. In fact, they ran the ball a lot that whole drive.
Running back leads, a fullback leads. That's almost unstoppable.
Yeah, it really was. And then when he got outside the pocket, it was unstoppable. And then you project that, man, if he can learn to gather and cut out of breaks, he would be. I don't know how he catches a ball. There's always an assumption you can just put athletes a wide receiver. Right. You got to be able to catch.
Yeah.
And so if he can't, Derek King may be like a lot of great athletes who have played quarterback in the NFL, in college, just turn into good college quarterbacks. And there is no NFL space for him. But then some guys like Antoine Randall, when he was he was an option-based quarterback at Indiana. Mm-hmm. He had a great career at wide receiver. Julian Edelman, a great career. I don't see why, if he can't catch the ball effectively, Derek King can't look at Julian Edelman and say, this is kind of my path. Because Julian Edelman was that same kind of quick. I think King is faster, maybe not necessarily quicker than Edelman, because Edelman was plenty, plenty quick. But I don't know, Del. Most quarterbacks want to finish it at quarterback. They don't want to make that move. If I'm advising Derek King, I would tell him, from a size standpoint, you're not going to get legitimate looks until late in the draft at best. Wide receiver may be a better opportunity for him. He might not like hearing that, but I would just be honest with him because I think he can potentially end up making some pretty good money at that position if he can figure it out, learn the position.
He's not going to play this year and the injuries don't become an issue where they have to play him again. Why not spend the year on scout team at wide receiver the rest of the year? Why not?
Well, hasn't he played? Wait, he played didn't Derek play wide receiver
yes, he did.
Already?
16, to start.
Yeah. He was already a wide receiver. They had two wide receivers that could play quarterback also.
Yes, they did. Yes, he did. And so did Greg Ward when he first came.
Yeah. I mean, Derek King has been a wide receiver. Caught a touchdown pass, if I'm not mistaken. So I think if he comes back next year, this is a guy who had David Sills. Granted, David Sills didn't get drafted, but David Sills put up a great production. David Sills didn't get drafted because he couldn't get off press coverage. Gary Jennings did get drafted from West Virginia. I really think he could benefit from playing in Dana's offense. Dana has sent a bunch of guys to the pros. So, I don't think that's a bad idea to come back redshirt and come back, because you could keep practicing. If he redshirted, he could keep practicing with the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he practices. Yeah, you practice with the team as a redshirt.
At a position switch?
Yeah. Absolutely, you practice as a redshirt. and by the way, Dana could use some receivers.
Yeah, I know. And I'm just telling you, man, I think he's got a chance to really wake some people up at that position with his speed. Yep. That is a dangerous, dangerous guy with the ball in his hands.
Absolutely. And some other news and notes going on around the world of sports. Man, Kansas, your Kansas team looks like they're going to catch it. Bill Self.
They're not my Kansas team.
Oh, yeah. They're cheating.
Hey, so
they're just like Miami.
Let me ask you guys this question. So they got hit with the lack of institutional control. I remember when that used to be considered not literally a death penalty, but it was a major, major issue. I almost feel like college basketball is so crooked that no one even talks about institutional control issues with college basketball anymore. Like, we just assume basketball is basketball the most crooked of the sports?
Oh, yeah, I think it is.
I truly believe that basketball players are like, hey, we need to shut down all this talk about paying players, because we would take a massive pay cut. If we start getting paid by the NCAA and not everyone else that we're getting paid by right now,
they'll be able to supplement their income with payments as well.
From
teams. Boosters, absolutely.
Well, but here's what the NCAA would have to do. If they ever agreed to a statute that allows players to get paid, then they need to come down and say, we can't allow we're going to have to really be hard on people who are paying behind the scenes.
Under the
if we ever fund athletics to where it's no longer amateur, then we have to crush your program if we catch
it. I think the most amazing part of this story, there are also allegations against Kansas football, sources added, although those are level two violations. You're telling me that the worst program over the last decade has been cheating? They're doing it wrong. How in the world?
Has it really been that long, or is it since Les got there they said, hey, what?
Well, you mean that they... No, these are under David Beatty.
What, level two must not be much of anything. It must be like they practiced too long.
I don't care. If you're Kansas and you cheated, if you jaywalked, you did it
nice
wrong.
Nice to see what you just did there. If you jaywalked. Way to go.
How in the world did you cheat and you're still this bad?
It's the worst. It would be the worst cheating I've ever heard of. Ever. That's why it can't be cheating. It can be just rules violation. Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen a bigger disparity in a program between two sports?
Wow. North Carolina?
No.
Kansas is worse. Like.
Kansas is one of the worst football teams that's
Duke,
ever existed.
Duke.
Duke's been bad, but I would say not at the level of
Duke
Kansas
makes
bad.
Bowl games.
Yeah. Even Kansas. When Duke has been terrible, they haven't
They've
been Kansas.
Been, there was a time, though. It's Duke over. Was Duke
not,
was non-existent.
Not
Kansas.
You
want to
go
football.
Take a look at Kansas
for
seasons?
No, Kansas is the worst.
This is like forever.
No, there's Kansas is the worst. There's no question. I mean, that's not... Yeah. Kansas is the worst. All right, 713-780-3776 if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5. What about the Skeeters? How about playoff action tonight? What do you think about playoff action tonight?
I love it. Playoff action tonight is when it opens up. You can go to SugarlandSkeeters.com to get playoff tickets. You know you can get box seats for just $10 right now? $10 box seats, $19 for the all-you-can-eat buffet that goes along with, you know,
well, this
seats.
Says all-you-can-eat tickets. And $19 all-you-can-eat tickets. I don't want to eat tickets.
No, it's not. It's not. I think you're screwing the wording up on that. It's actually, I've been there and done that with my kids. They have a great food layout. They have like three different stations, a dessert station. They have the ice cream station that comes up with the brownies and the pies and the cobblers. And you've got – it's really an unbelievable spread.
What about post-game fireworks tonight?
You have that going on tonight. And mm-hmm. But don't forget, you have playoffs tonight and tomorrow. But the post-game fireworks, that is today.
All right, SugarlandSkeeters.com. You're looking for a great way to entertain. You're looking for just a good time. Hey, how about it's playoff baseball? SugarlandSkeeters.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, we got tickets to wrestling superstar Chris Jericho and his band Fozzy. Coming to Warehouse Live. That's my boys. That's Justin's place. September 26th, ESPN 97.5 wants to send you the show. You got a pair of tickets to see the band perform live as they entertain and remind fans what rock and roll is all about, invoking dirty, sweaty jubilation and doing it loudly. For tickets and show info, head to warehouselive.com. Warehouselive.com. All right, at 8:20 exactly. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Caller number 6 is going to win those tickets. Warehouse Live, Chris Jericho. Del, how much? What's your favorite Chris Jericho song?
I don't have one, John. I don't have one.
Mine is from the top rope.
Is it?
Yeah.
Can you?
Yeah.
Do you have some of the lyrics? Do you know some of them?
Yeah, I know. I can't understand
so
it because it's rock and roll.
So
nobody
it's your
can
favorite
understand.
Song, and you can't understand the lyrics, so it didn't strike you to go look up the lyrics since you love it so much.
I love it, but I don't care. I just love the beat.
Do you think you could recognize the song if I played it?
Yeah, play it.
Okay. We'll see.
By the way, I looked up Kansas. They're undefeated as no one's touching them for incompetence. Three winning seasons over the last 23. in their last 10 years, the most wins they've had is three. They have been terrible. The only time they had win, Mark Mangino, you remember Mangino had a 12-1 season with them and an 8-5 season. He had two back-to-back winning seasons for Kansas. Other than that, I'm sorry, Mark Mangino had the only winning seasons for Kansas. Mark Mangino had an 8-5, a 12-1, and a 7-5. He had a 6-6, but, you know, I'm not counting that. He went to bowl games.
Remember his inside, little wee quarterback? Was it wrestling?
Yeah, remember? I kind of remember. Do you know Mark Mangino?
He against Chase Daniel.
Todd Reesing.
Reesing.
Yeah. Mark Mangino had
Reesing against Daniel. Remember that?
He had four bowl appearances and was 3-1 in bowl games. Yeah. That's back when there were 6-7.
And
he
wore a jumpsuit. No, a workout suit. Remember? The velour.
He's awesome.
Remember?
I remember how awesome
he was.
He looked like a
mafia.
Remember when he got in trouble for, like, I think he yelled at players? This is when it first started.
But look at the stuff.
He was a little more over the top.
You think coach doesn't make a difference? Ever since he left, look at.
Oh, no. Coaches, you can tell. Coaches make a difference at a lot of different places.
He was in studio with us a couple of years ago.
I remember. I was here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was 17.
Yeah. And he was. You know, he's still looking for – I guess he did something that's just was inexcusable. You know, Leach got back in it, and for whatever reason, Mangino has never been able to find work since.
Well, Mangino's was a little different. I'm trying to remember what – he's an assistant football coach at Youngstown State.
Yeah. That's he had to work hard to get that.
Yeah, but he was – yeah, I got to look up
– He was yelling at players. He was, I guess, accused of being – really tough on them or whatever, on these millennials. Kansas beat Texas, though, so that's good, says Jackie. Jackie, what the hell?
Remember controversies. Oh, there's a Lincoln High.
What is Texas' record against Kansas over the last 4 years? 1-3 or 1-1?
I think they're 3-1.
I mean 3-1, yeah.
Yeah.
So is there anybody else in the Big 12 that's only 3-1 against Kansas?
I don't think so.
That's a shame. Sorry, Texas.
Man, there's a lot of controversies around Mark. Mark, by the way, Mark Mangino, if you go under Wikipedia, his controversies dating all the way back to high school, it appears as though he's a hard time with his temper.
Elze, remind me to tell you the Mangino towel story. Yeah, I already know the towel
Who said
story,
that?
Chris Andrews, we know the tall story.
I already know it. You're not telling me anything I don't know and I don't want to hear ever again.
I heard Bobby Knight did the same thing.
Well, doesn't seem as bad under Bobby.
No. I don't want to put that on Bobby Knight. Bobby Knight put the players in the garbage can.
Oh, yeah.
The big Utah coach.
Rick Majerus.
Yeah. He did the same thing.
That guy could coach too, by the way.
Dropped it. Well.
Hey, you know who couldn't coach as well as he was given credit for was Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan as a head coach didn't have the success people expected. But Rex does a lot of talking now, right? He's a talking head on TV. Rex said, look, I ain't buying into the
No, he did get Mark Sanchez to two AFC championship games or one?
Not two.
One.
Mark Sanchez is in two AFC championship games?
Well, I don't know if Mark Sanchez. I know... Didn't Vinny Testaverde get to an AFC title game?
Yeah, he got to a couple of AFC championships. But he lost to. Yeah, two, I think. I think he was even Mark Sanchez.
Maybe I'm misremembering. Well, his head coaching record is 61-66. His career coaching record is 65-68. It's below 500.
Yeah.
Take it for what it's worth. But the reason I bring it up is because.
John, you're right. Not 09 and 09 and
Sanchez,
10,
right?
Sanchez.
Yeah.
Two consecutive AFC titles.
Yeah. Course. It's really more for the defense.
And then butt fumble.
I wouldn't say that. I would say the defense got them to.
Mark got Sanchez them to the championship. Got them there.
Not Mark Sanchez.
You give Brady credit, but you won't give Mark Sanchez.
Well, let's get to this overrated quarterback, Baker Mayfield, your guy. Rex Ryan said Baker Mayfield is overrated as hell. Not to the point where everyone's saying he's going to be. He goes, look, I ain't buying into the dang hype. Not to the point where everyone's saying he's going to be the league MVP. You know what? There is some. I want to bring this up because there is some accuracy here in what Rex is saying. The hype train on Baker, if you had asked people who is better, Baker Mayfield, who would you rather have Baker? And as a matter of fact, I think this came up. Baker Mayfield or Deshaun Watson. There have been a lot of people who said Baker Mayfield. And now Baker's got Odell Beckham James. I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. I'm telling you right now, in watching three Cleveland games, it doesn't matter that you gave him Odell Beckham. Baker Mayfield looks like the same issues that Deshaun had and most second-year quarterbacks who get off to a good start their rookie year. Teams have altered what they do against him, and I don't know the specifics of it. I'm sure if you talk to a defense coordinator, they will tell you what they've done. Baker does not look like the same guy in year two at all, and it looks like, once again, defensive coordinators have played that chess match, and now we got to see if he can counterpunch. Baker's no lock to be some kind of great quarterback right now, and he was crowned. Cleveland was – a lot of people were crowning Cleveland, and a lot of people were crowning Baker Mayfield. And certainly I understand it because Baker Mayfield was looking good. But like with Deshaun Watson, like with Dak Prescott, like with Carson Wentz, a lot of guys – although Carson, I would say, was better his second year than first, but a lot of guys who have success their first year – really come back down to earth their second year. It's not happening with Pat Mahomes, but it happens with a lot of quarterbacks who all of a sudden things aren't quite as easy for them once teams have game plans specifically for your strengths and weaknesses once they go to school on you. I remember Colin Kaepernick had these issues when he was in there with San Francisco and Jim Harbaugh installed the zone read stuff and all the diamond formation that they were running. And then Green Bay, who got embarrassed the year before against them, they went to A&M and studied under Kevin Sumlin's defensive coaches, who I can't remember who it was at that particular time. And then they came back, and they basically made a fundamental change in attacking the mesh point and taking the quarterback out of the play completely. And they ruined – San Francisco had to completely change what they did, and Colin was not the same devastating quarterback after they took away the zone read option. So I don't know. Baker Mayfield right now, he's got a lot of work to do. And I got a funny feeling that if something doesn't change, we could start to see a little percolate a little bit over there. That combustible situation with a first-year head coach who just made a really questionable decision right off the bat on a fourth down draw play. I mean, and bad set of downs, four downs, down inside the opponent's 6 or 7 yard line. I think Cleveland is going to, you're going to start to hear a little chirping in Cleveland, and it's going to get a little ugly unless they start winning quickly. And I heard Colin Cowherd going over the schedule. They don't have an easy schedule.
Oh no,
it's a hard schedule.
Oh no, this 5-game stretch is as hard as anybody's schedule in the NFL. I'm going to listen. Everybody anointed the Browns in the offseason. That is pure death when you're the team du jour, especially a team that just 2 years ago was winless or one win, whatever they had. There's growth. Yeah, teams are going to adjust. I think they're going to counterpunch. Freddie Kitchen says he's going to continue to call the plays. He's catching a lot of heat for the fourth down draw. I think there's an overreaction now 3 games in. They're going to be better than they have been, and Baker is going to be better. They've got too much talent. Their offensive line is a mess, though.
I think Baker Mayfield, how he handles pressure, is going to determine how he does this year because it ain't changing. There is no solution on the bench. There is no solution on the field. No. And Baker Mayfield has not shown he can handle pressure. And you know what? He had the Joe Moore that went – I can tell you this. They were Joe Moore Award finalists. We had them as finalists. You're talking about four offensive linemen who blocked for Baker Mayfield that got drafted by the pros. All of a sudden, it's way different when you got people in your face. And Baker has not handled people in his face well at all. And it's going to continue to happen this year. That's why I'm not sure this really does right the ship rights this year. They're going to have to go out and spend draft picks and money, and they missed on this guy Austin Corbett that they tried to draft. That was a miss. When you miss on offensive linemen, we're starting to find out missing on offensive linemen is really a bad, bad deal because offensive lines already are overmatched by defensive lines. So when you miss on a high pick on an offensive lineman, it feels like that's setting you back even further than missing on a wide receiver now, a guy who scores touchdowns. Because offensive linemen, the good ones, are typically going – the best guys are going in the top two rounds. Yeah. When you miss on a top two rounder, that's a major, major concern.
We're 3 games in.
I get it, but do you see any help with the offensive? Do you see the offensive line getting better?
No, but it wasn't much different than last year. And they were able to. They did better. You know what? Freddie Kitchens got to readjust. They've got too much talent. They just got too much talent. Now, Njoku going down doesn't help, but they just got too much talent to be this day. With Chubb, you know, Kareem Hunt is going
to
come in.
This has to turn into a run. You know what? It may need to take it out of Baker's hands a little bit and put it in Chubb and eventually Kareem Hunt, but he's gone for 8 games.
Yeah, right. No, Chubb is good enough. They'll be better than this.
Well, the problem is their schedule doesn't get easier.
No, they got a tough. That's as tough as anybody's.
It's going to be.
They're going to
catch some L's.
They go to the Ravens this week. You think?
They've always got that right. But
you think they're winning that game on the road?
I don't.
So I don't you're looking at 1-4 possibly, and the pressure just keeps building. The problem with the Browns is they didn't finish in first place, but they didn't finish in last, so the schedule gets tougher. And it just so happens.
Yeah, we're just 3 games in. It'll be 1-3.
No, they play the Ravens. I said if they're 1-4 after the game.
No, but they've only played 3.
One and three. One and three, and then they have the Patriots on the schedule, I think.
Well, okay, 1-4.
Yeah, 1-4. So there it is.
And let me tell you, those guys in that locker room, it could be get a little chirpy.
We'll
see how Freddie handles it.
There's time to pull out.
Boy, Colin Coward was crushing Dorsey. Well, I know the Baker thing. Baker got on his. He had an opinion about Baker, and of course, Baker put him on a list.
Oh yeah, immediately
fired
going back. And forth.
This is why you got to be careful. Also, if you're Baker, about getting because Colin just had an opinion. I didn't think he was out of line with his opinion of Baker Mayfield.
Colin
he had an opinion.
Personal too.
Look,
I mean, Colin,
well, I think he wanted to be right at when Baker came right back at him because I came on Colin's show and he was asking me about Baker Mayfield and I said I think Baker Mayfield played really well last year as a rookie because he wanted to kind of. I think he was hoping that I would say he wasn't as good and he played better than my expectations as a rookie, but Baker at some point it's not great to be. Yapping.
Oh, like, he's so chirpy.
By the way, did we just forget what Baker said about Daniel Jones?
Did we forget
about that?
Oh, and before we go, we got to go. Ravens at the 49ers on Monday night. Home the Seahawks at the Patriots.
Oh, no.
That's their next 4.
Yeah.
For who?
The Browns.
The Browns.
They could end up 1-7.
Who are they beating?
The Seahawks just lost at home to the Saints.
And the Browns only beat the Jets, so...
And, by the way, this Jimmy Garoppolo deal with the devil is going to have to end sometime.
I don't think it's happening on Monday night at home.
No.
We'll see.
It could, though.
You need to get gritty, Lance.
Let's talk about gritty and their ability to get you wholesale energy. Well, they get wholesale prices for energy and unlimited energy. For a lot of, you know, there's a lot of times where you'll hear these energy companies will have special rates for you. And then when you read the fine print, you start to find out that, you know, it's really not great because if you don't spend a certain amount of kilowatts per, you know, billing cycle, you don't get that special rate. Or if you go over a certain amount, it alternates and will flex to a different rate on you. With Gritty, they say, look, you pay $10 a month and we will give you unlimited access to wholesale price of energy. And we're not going to charge you a contract. You know, it's not going to be a contract. You can get out anytime you want. We're not going to mark it up. This is just big savings. Their entire model is based upon their $10 a month access fee to get the wholesale energy. And they're going to give you the first month free of the membership fee when you text Lance to 797979. That's Lance to 797979. Your first month of membership is absolutely free. Text Lance to 797979. Start saving today. Message and data rates may apply.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. To hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5. Derek King, the big story. Your Astros back in action tonight. Garrett Cole on the mound tonight for your Houston Astros. And by the way, it's against Seattle for 2 games. And then you got the Angels for 4. The Yankees are at Tampa. If you finish 5-1, you got the best record in baseball. No worries. You got 6 games, 2 at Seattle and 4 at LA. So 5-1. The question is going to be, because you've got, I don't see Verlander in the rotation again. And yet you need to win games. And the question is going to be whether or not you want, do you want Verlander almost 2 weeks off? He'll go from Sunday, September 22nd to and game one of the ALDS is going to be October 4th. So that's, 12 days? Do you want Verlander not starting for 12 days?
I mean, no, but at the same time, I can't get, I hate this game. I honestly hate the amount of conjecture and concern over not enough rest, too much rest. Are they rusty? Are they going to be fatigued? Like, what? Sometimes it's not going to be perfect for you, especially when the postseason rolls around. Your schedule changes. People's schedule, the schedules for pitchers change. It's natural to happen after 162, and they try to align the playoffs. I don't think I would rather a guy. Yeah, I would rather a guy have more rest than less. Absolutely. I would. And I know that flies.
He's just on such a roll. I would not like to break it. And I know he's older.
Okay, you want him on 3 days rest?
Well, here's the deal, though.
Or 10 days rest.
But if he pitches Saturday, the 28th, he still will have 6 days rest.
What's wrong with that?
Well, no, but if he doesn't pitch again, he's going to have 12 days rest.
I mean, I get it, but there's not a perfect answer for keeping them on a perfect schedule. I think anytime you get a chance to recuperate when you're in your mid-30s, it's a big deal. I think recuperating, I'm not worried about Justin
Verlander.
It's
not like he's not going to work, but there's nothing like the game for
Justin what he would rather do.
Yeah, well, it's up to Justin, obviously.
Yeah, ask him what he would rather
do.
I don't know the answer. I would much rather he gets some much-needed rest for the arm, for the psyche, the whole thing. I'm not worried about his mentality.
No,
I'm worried about mental makeup, his preparation, his readiness.
No, I'm worried about his
command. Verlander?
Yeah.
Verlander's a Cy Young winner. His
no,
command's going to be fine.
I understand. But listen, if you take time off. Listen, even hitters. You go ahead and you don't. And they've got, you know, from the end of the season, it's going to be Sunday the 29th. And they 1, 2, 3, 4. Name all the days over the last 6 months that they've had 4 days off, other than the All-Star.
Well,
break.
what is your solution? What are you proposing?
Well, I mean, there's nothing you can do about the hitters because you've got 4 days off. There's nothing you can do about that.
I guarantee you, there's no hitters that are going to be upset about 4 days off.
No. But you know what? There's something to be. Now the other team has it too. So
yes, that's why I think it's such a commentary. It's the other team has the same exact issue, so it's not a factor to me. It's part of what the schedule.
Well,
is.
And plus, if you've
you'll
got
be
the
on
best
TV,
plus if you've got the best record, the other team is using up their best starter.
And let me tell you why it's done this way: because you're on TV. And let me tell you what TV does: brings in money. And let me tell you what all that money does: pays you handsomely. So there is no these. Everything is for a reason, and these schedules aren't perfect. But we dealt with this forever. It's because of TV, and the TV is the revenue that drives the league and pays you the high salaries.
Well,
and the other team is dealing with the exact same thing.
Yeah, no. This has always been the case. I mean, all of a sudden it's something new in baseball
with
the playoffs. No, but you have to go about it, you know, the right way. They'll probably go about it much like they did in 17. And it'd be interesting to see in 17 whether or not Justin Verlander started at the end of the season. And I can go back and look at that and see their schedule. In 17, did Verlander start? Colors Morton Verlander started on the 27th. And that was his last start. And then you got the playoffs. This is the 22nd, though, will be his last start. It's a 5-day difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they go about it.
Lance, are you interested in Verlander accomplishing something he's never done before? 300 strikeouts in a season?
Not really.
Or
I mean,
the possibility of 3,000 strikeouts?
Yeah, because he's got six more for 3,000. He's got
he's going to get to 300. He's still pitching next
year. Yeah, 3,000.
No, 3,000. He's got six more to 3,000. He's got 12 to 300.
I'm worried about what gives him the best chance to help win a World Series. That should be the only thing that matters to the Astros. And I'm sure it is the only thing that matters to the Astros. If you have a choice between best chance to win a World and now, if they think, we think it's irrelevant, him getting another start is irrelevant to us winning a World Series, then so be it. Then roll him out there and get up to 3,000. He's pitching next year. He's going to get to 3,000 strikeouts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like it's not going to happen.
No, the one thing that hasn't happened, and who knows if it would ever happen, is
two pitchers with 300?
Him getting 300 for the first time in his career in 1 year.
Yeah, I mean, if it's important to him, I think it's reasonable. And you could also he could also be a five-inning starter, a four-inning starter and get there. Yeah, but if you're going to go four, you're going
to
go five.
Well, he didn't have to go. Yeah, he didn't have to go seven. Get your strikeouts in and get out.
Yeah, I mean, they pulled him the other day. Obviously, they were up big. But they said, you know what? Five innings, done. Come on. Come sit over here.
I've heard this. It's just a big teeth-gnashing thing that doesn't make sense to me. We hear this about every year we deal with people who are like, is this a bad thing that they won a division? Because now they're off and the other team gets playing a wild card and now you got a whole week off. And I don't know what the difference is between that and a bye week. You get extra time to prepare.
Oh, no, and you don't want to be a wild card. I would much rather.
I'm not worried about being
although wild cards have rusty. Gotten to the World Series and won the World Series.
But I'm not worried about being rusty. The rustiness, I would much rather take a chance with rustiness after a 162-game schedule that lasted almost as long as the Premier League, but nothing goes as long as the Premier League. I would much rather my guys get rest. I'd much rather them get some rest.
It was funny what Allison Footer said when she was on here. She said, you know, this better work. And truth be told, yeah. How this is set up now with Cole right now, picking up Greinke and picking up all that money, and, you know, guys that are coming up on their deals. Springer, listen, Springer this year, Correa not so much. Springer this year made himself a nice, I think, five-year deal after this season. He's got 1 year of arbitration.
I'm just telling you now, I'm paying George Springer. There's not even a thought.
Yeah.
I can't believe there was a time where I actually used to have conversations about, it's going to be hard to keep George Springer when you got Carlos Correa. I mean, that's the star, and George is nice, but he's only hitting .274, blah, blah, blah. I mean, George Springer's out here going, I make great catches. I sell out my body. I clearly am the heart and soul of the team. Everyone loves me. I hit home runs. What do you want from me again,
well,
Lance?
Well, there was a time before Dell called him out.
I did call him out.
Dell called him out.
I simply asked a question.
You asked the question.
It was all about potential.
And
for
they
George
were.
Springer.
That's right, because he was basically a .258 hitter.
Yes.
Basically, he was a .258 hitter. And when you called him out in Boston,
do you think he heard and said,
he
you know
went
what?
On a
I'm
run?
Prove that son of a. Wrong, and now he's the
that British fellow that knows nothing about baseball.
Now, if it wasn't for Alex Bregman, he might be a contender for MVP. I do know something about baseball. We got to go to break. I do know something that Justin Verlander in his two full seasons with the Astros is doing something historically in regards to him. Lance, I don't know if you know this, but before he got to Houston, Justin Verlander's high strikeout total was .269 when he was 29 years old. Last year, he broke that.
Are you going to start this again?
Last year, he broke that at .288. What?
You're going to start this again.
What is this?
Oh.
Verlander had his. Justin Verlander.
Who are you going to compare him to, Dell?
Justin Verlander at 35 and 36 years old is having his highest strikeout totals of his career.
Yeah.
You know who else had a great numbers at 35 and 36 years old, larger than anything he'd ever done in the past? Barry Bonds.
There it is.
I thought he was going to say Roger. The payoff.
Barry Bonds at 35 hit 49 home runs, and then the next year he hit 73.
I haven't. Now Verlander doesn't have any home runs this year, so there's
yeah.
But he does have.
So I don't know how you're comparing those two. You can't compare a pitcher.
All I'm
and
saying
a steroid
is, I don't
freak.
Know. I don't know what
did
you
Barry
call.
Bonds have. Brent Strom.
That is the tightening
up the swing.
See, you guys keep talking about steroids. I keep bringing up historic players doing great things.
Seven
and 35
a half.
And 36.
Dell, let me give you an important statistic.
What? Seven and a half what?
That's his hat size for Justin Verlander. It's not nine. Like Barry Bonds has got all the way to nine.
All I'm pointing out is two historic players at 35 and 36 years old.
We don't care about your historic player.
You know what else is historic?
You're a numbers guy.
I'm a numbers guy, but the numbers tell me that these are normal numbers for like a Curt Schilling.
That's right.
It's Curt Schilling numbers, too.
Oh, you ever see Nolan Ryan? Yeah.
Nolan Ryan's numbers didn't go up from
They did.
Nolan Ryan struck
probably
out.
Probably they did.
He struck out 400 when he was younger. He didn't strike out 450 when he was 40.
Well, you don't listen.
No one knows that for sure.
Yeah.
No, the stats will tell you.
No one knows. You can't figure out Nolan Ryan's stats.
No, they're out there.
They're impossible
to get. They're pretty easy to find. That's all.
They're impossible to obtain right now. What I need you to do, you know what's not impossible to obtain? Clean carpets. How about steam cleaning? Oops, steam cleaning, 250-degree water. Kills fungi, kills germs, gets rid of mold, spores, and bacteria. Provides a better cleaning without the use of shampoos or detergents, because shampoos and detergents leave. Listen, you can go and rent, I'll just clean my own carpets. I'll go to the store and rent one of those carpets, and they put soap in there, and then it's going to be dirty. It'll be even worse than it was beforehand. Don't do this yourself. It's too economical to do it with Oops. And by economical, I mean when they tell you the price, transparent pricing, that's exactly what they're going to charge you. The guys that come and clean aren't going to go, well, now you got to do this and you got to do this. And all of a sudden you're looking at a bill that's $400, $500, $600 more than what you had agreed to or what you thought you were going to pay. It's not the case. Even Longhorn Scott was in here saying the same thing. He had Oops come to his house. You can have Oops come to your house too. And I'm telling you, they're going to take care of business. 281-822-0561. 281-822-0561. OopsSteam.com.